Okay, it's recording.
All right, I'd like to call the Candia Planning Board meeting of November 1st, 2023 in session at 6:30 PM. I think we got everything on there. Okay. Would you all please rise and join me in pledge allegiance to the flag?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Thank you all for coming. We'll do the roll call. Rudy here. Mark?
Here.
Ryan?
Yeah.
Judy?
Here.
Scott?
Here.
Tim?
Here.
Kevin?
Here.
Linda?
Here.
Mike Gay? And Mike Santa? Okay. All right, we'll get right into the meeting. First item on here under new business is informational hearing, potential subdivision, applicant owner Israel and Linda Willard, 10 Langford Road, Candia, New Hampshire, 03034. Property location, 10 Langford Road, Candia, New Hampshire, 03034. Map 408, lot 054. The intent of subdivision of lot to create a second lot. Are you present here?
Yes.
Come on up. Just for the record, just sign in so that Amy has our
your name,
name and address and stuff like this for the records. And also, when you do your presentation, just give your name and your address for the record.
I don't know that we have much of a presentation. This is more informational, I think, for us than anything else.
That's fine.
Okay.
I have to stand right. Apparently, I can't sit down yet.
Funny, I can't write for a damn when I'm sitting.
It does change everything.
Change the glasses and all
like,
that. Oh, yeah.
Whoa.
I
can't write for a damn sitting.
Penmanship will be graded.
That's fine.
I have very nice penmanship.
I use
I have been told.
All right. All right. Like I said, just identify yourself.
Linda and Israel Willard, 10 Lakewood Road, Candia, New Hampshire. So I guess what our ask is, or what we're trying to accomplish, is we know that we're going to create what's going to be a non-conforming lot. Because it doesn't meet the 3-acre minimum, we're short like 0.31
acres
to be able to have the 3-acre minimum lot. The intent isn't to put multiple houses on it. It's to subdivide for our daughter to be able to build a house to hopefully be closer to us as a family, so that if in our eventual old age we have somebody close by that can take care of us. So I guess we've spoken with Franklin Associates in town about doing the survey and identifying any of the delineating all the wetlands and the kind of the next steps with them to be able to, I guess, move forward. And their recommendation was we come to the board first, find out what happens, and then get back with him to.
How much acreage do you have in your lot right now?
5.69 acres is what the deed says. The town tax map says 5.25.
So we've got to get for frontage.
Lots of frontage on Langford Road. Off the top of my head, I don't remember the number. It's several hundred feet.
715 feet.
Is it?
Yeah.
So that's okay.
Do you also have frontage on 27?
We do. About 41 feet.
Yeah.
You're on the left there.
Yes, correct. The big white house.
There's probably two issues that would be the ones that you have to overcome. One of them is obviously, like you said before, if it's less than the 3-acre minimum, the board can't approve a non-conforming lot.
Okay.
They're not allowed to.
We can't create a non-conforming lot.
Right.
So can anybody?
Well,
give me their name and address.
There's two things, actually, like I said before. One of them is the non-conforming lot. The other thing is that you're in a commercial zone, and residential structures aren't allowed in the commercial zone. So there's two, that's in section section 5.02 on the zoning ordinances.
I think technically our zoning is residential slash commercial or commercial slash residential. I don't think it's just strictly commercial.
Yeah, it's just commercial. I checked on it for you just to make sure, because that's what I was wondering about myself when it came through and I saw where it was, because your lot and the one right across from Langford Road are in the same thing. They're commercial. We only have residential, commercial, and industrial for zoning in Candia. Now, as Brian had said, though, we can't do anything about it because it's in the zoning ordinances that this is the way it is. What you can do, you can go to the Zoning Board of Adjustment and request waivers from the ZBA. If the ZBA grants you waivers in there, then you can submit an application for which would be a minor subdivision in your particular case, because you're only doing two lots and that's it.
Yeah.
So
the other thing to consider is an auxiliary dwelling unit, an ADU,
right,
we call it, right, where you could add a separate living space onto your existing house.
The max square footage is 750.
750, yeah. But again, if you needed something larger for some specific special reason or anything like that, the ZBA has approved larger ones. Like, say, for example, they had one where there was a handicapped accessibility issue, things like that. So that is definitely one thing that we've been recommending for people in your exact situation is considering an ADU.
You can only have one of those on the lot?
Yes.
And you already have one.
Oh, you have one? An ADU? Is it attached to your house? Or?
No.
Oh, it's one.
But we had to go through the zoning and all of that,
to get
a couple of waivers. We converted our barn from my elderly parents. They live there.
Oh, okay. Oh, yes. I remember. I remember that. That was about 6, 7, 8 years ago, something like that.
No, it's
15.
No, it's been 18 years ago. Wow.
18 years ago?
Time flies.
I know. I remember that situation, but I can't remember. I don't believe it was like, wow.
Yeah, they've been living there that long. And they're still alive.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's almost too bad.
And do you still like
get
it? Yeah, right.
That 50-foot right-of-way from this other lot, if you could buy that.
We own the 50-foot right-of-way is us.
That's ours.
Yeah.
That's part of your 5.25? Okay.
Or 5.69.
Because it looks like it's a 50-foot right-of-way coming for 408 over 53.
Yeah, so I believe it's owned by Public Service bought the right-of-way. So they have the right-of-way, but it's still part of the lot is the way it's in our deed that way.
Well, that might be the discrepancy between your 5.69 and the 5.25, right?
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's a meets and bounds description. Yeah,
correct.
Yeah, you don't really know until you get a survey. You don't really know
exactly.
You got.
Yeah, I think
I was
correct.
Just
yeah.
Looking at something the other day, and it wasn't even close. You know, it wasn't even close. You know.
Yeah. So I guess we've been in town 30 years now. So I'm guessing the zoning laws must have changed either right after we moved in or over the years, because the lot originally that was attached to the property that we have. There's a 2-acre lot next to us that was subdivided off from the property.
Yeah,
there was
a lot of record back then. Yeah, 2 acres was fine.
It was.
Or even smaller would be fine. There was a lot of record.
Okay. Do we know when it went to 3?
That would, if you talk to
ZBA, would know that.
Well, probably the best person to talk to would be Jim Franklin.
That's who I've been talking to.
Jim,
is that the one you're talking about? The 2.9?
No, so it's this one right here.
Probably. Oh,
okay.
That
little
early
7.
Early
7? Yeah.
Which was zoning came in.
Yeah. It's about.
Probably early 70s, I think, is when the zoning changed.
Okay. All right, so then I guess our next steps are go to the ZBA. And
well, I think the first thing is talk to Jim.
Yes.
To make sure you've got everything as far as your property straightened out.
Yeah, you might want to get the acreage all that verified so you know what your request is going to be.
Because if you do have 6 acres and you do have the division so that there's 3 on each, then that's not a problem.
Right.
It's going to be a conforming lot. The other item that you'd have to do is you'd have to go to the ZBA to get approval to build a residential structure in the
commercial.
Yeah, in the commercial zone.
Okay.
Good one, Mark.
The way you already have the home there on the ADA already. I mean, can't can't speak for them, but
yeah,
it's not unreasonable.
I wouldn't think. Star.
Okay.
Great.
Do you have any other questions?
I don't. I don't appreciate your time.
Yes. Oh, thank you.
Thank you for your information.
Thank you, very
thank you so much.
By the way, I live on the street too.
Oh.
Kevin, 1696.
Nice to meet you.
And I remember you from school.
Long time ago.
Both the girls went to school. Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Good evening.
Yeah. All right. Under old business, case 21-006, major site plan, applicant owner, Mountain States LLC, 106 Mount Williams Pond Road, Ware, New Hampshire, 03281, property location 291 Raymond Road, Candy, New Hampshire, 03034. Map 409, lot 131, the intent discussion. First is I apologize for not being able to be here last week.
I'd like to, before we go deeper into this, though, I'd like to put forth that I'm not sure we want to, the decision was made on this unanimous vote, and I'm not sure we want to reopen discussion on it since it's been done and completed. All other issues aside, I know I personally don't want to reopen discussion on it. That's kind of my take. So I'm going to put forward a motion that we not reopen discussion on this case.
Also, before you do that, we have a letter from the attorney. Our attorney.
Yeah, I read that.
And basically, he said, to allow a deviation from the requirement, which is section 403L, the board needs to consider a waiver. I would recommend the board reconsider its decision within 30 days by November 18th, 2023, to allow the deviation without a waiver or further site plan approval. Now, both the attorney and actually the town council, or town engineer, Brian, who just got me this late Monday, says, hi, Rudy, I've reviewed the change and agreed that this would constitute a major change and would, should require a resubmission and a butter notification. So we have recommendations from our lawyer that the board reconsider it because he feels that it didn't meet the intention of what our regulations
say. Wait a minute,
before we go any further, you made a motion?
Yeah.
Did that get seconded by
anybody?
Yes. Mark. Okay, so we can have the discussion. And the motion was, was to not discuss it.
Right.
So
which
here we are.
Which we're now discussing it. But
discussing it.
Again, I think this board reviewed it, felt there wasn't a major site change in our view, and these were... this was a change that was required for unforeseen circumstances out of the applicant's control.
And the town's
control.
And the utilities.
And the utilities.
And that it was also discussed that since the power at the street is above ground, the power at all the surrounding properties are above ground, and that the abutting landowners were here and had no problems with the issue, we felt unanimously that it was a non-issue.
A reasonable request.
It was a reasonable request. Now, if there's particular documents that need to be put in a folder, then that's fine. That can be those can be filled in. But I speak for myself. But it was a unanimous vote, and I'm sure that there's other people who feel the way I do on this one.
And I don't think that we needed to drag the applicant back in here two more times because of it.
No.
So the feeling is that the board wants to go against what the attorney, town attorney, is telling us what we should do.
Exactly.
As well as the town engineer.
Exactly.
Well, Rudy, what I'd like to know, just knowing some of the history, I'd like to know the context of the conversation that you had. In other words, what we've seen in the past is when we want a particular outcome, and you're approaching town attorney, I'd like to know how that conversation went. Because it's my feeling that if you had the conversation and said, you know, we're trying to work on behalf of the applicant and the town, we're going to create absolutely no value, we're protecting both, there's no liability, I've seen you in the past, Rudy, and we've passed as a board something that didn't adhere strictly to the rules, where you were sitting there and you said, let me think about this for a minute. Yeah, you know what? I think we can do that. When I looked right at the reg and I knew that it couldn't be done. But did I call the town attorney? Did I call Brian? I said, call the town attorney. We weren't supposed to do that because you know what? It served the best interests of the town and the applicant, and I think you knew that. And so you went along with it. So now we can't just pick when we want. I know rules are very important, Rudy, and you've got to follow them. But sometimes common sense it prevails. And so I've seen this before, Rudy, in other cases where you had a particular agenda and you contacted town council, which I was privy to. You contact the attorney and then you tell the board, oh, the attorney said that. And I remember somebody say, let's see that in writing. So we've got like what I call a history here. So, yeah, when you have a board, when you're the chair of a board and they're 7-0 and you to run up to the attorney and say, well, I don't, and you kind of guide them or say this is the outcome you want. I'm sure if you would have said to him, hey, Tim, what do you think? You think this is okay? And I'm cool with it. Tim probably would have been, yeah, I don't think there's a problem with Rudy. So I think that's the problem we have here. It's like you've got a board, they do something, and then you go and you say, well, this isn't quite right. And then you dig into everything and talk to the attorney. And then you're like, oh, no, you guys screwed up. We can't do it. It's my understanding that council and the engineer are advisory, and the board has the discretion to make the call. So
when this was on the agenda for the last meeting,
yeah,
it was supposed to be for a discussion. There was nothing in there saying request for a waiver. The discussion never happened. I told Mark that the way that the regulations say that section is specific in what you can and can't do and how you're supposed to do it. Obviously, that information never got to the board, so I wanted to give it.
Also said that it didn't.
Would you let me finish?
Sorry.
So when I found out that it was in there, when town council had called me up about the other issue that we discussed in attorney meeting, I asked him, saying at that same time, I said, "Hey, what's your opinion?" And I basically told him, you know, what I thought, and he said. And I said, I'll send you an email because everybody wants everything in an email. So I sent it in an email, sent it out to all of you. So don't give me that crap about, you know, me running to the attorney circumventing things. What I did is I talked to him and did it the way that everybody has said it wanted to be done, which is in writing.
The way it should be done. But what I'm saying
is... So I did it that way.
We have a history, Rudy, without doubt.
I'm not going to... No.
All right?
I'm going to talk to you about this particular
that you have abused... That power, the power of you interacting with the attorney and town engineer, that's undeniable. I have been a party to it, Rudy. So that's why when we're sitting here and we don't know how that conversation went, and oh, Brian said this and the attorney said that, it's like, you know what, Rudy? You've got to, when you have a board and you're the chair and you're the leader and you throw 7 members under the bus, or before that you throw 5 members under the bus.
Scott, I think you're getting a little too heated and off track.
Did you get the information that I asked Mark to send you last meeting about this? This is exactly what I told Mark to bring you to the board meeting when I couldn't get here that I was going to bring out. You obviously didn't have the information that I went to before I was going to give you, before I even had any discussions with the town attorney. I looked, it's part of my job. And part of everybody on this board's job is to look at the regulations, understand them, and don't make decisions erroneously because you didn't follow the regulations the way that they're written. You did not follow the regulations the way that they're written. This has happened before.
Sure it has. I've seen you vote for things that didn't follow it.
I voted no.
In the past. Yep. No, I'm talking not about this, Rudy. I'm talking about in the past. And it was common. What I'm saying is you've got a common sense board here. They decide to do something, and we come back. We're going to call the applicant back. I mean, it's just, I mean, I don't think, I mean, okay, I'm just
Mike, like. Yeah, can I just make a point? An email was sent from Amy on the 25th, which was a week ago today.
Yeah.
Saying, like, from Rudy.
Yes.
So the week before that, we did this vote.
Right.
So I was not aware of what you wrote, but that one of the things I think Tom came in and put forth a very straightforward, cogent argument that made perfect sense to us. And one thing I think it's important that we keep in front of us is there's nothing easier than spending somebody else's money. And every time we make people go spend more of their money for no reason, like, because this literally, it's up, it's working. There's a temporary occupancy permit that says he can have it. Getting a transformer is out of his control completely. It makes perfect sense to say, keep it as it is. Don't incur a whole bunch of additional costs. My understanding is that you, when Tom came in, he said you requested a major site plan be redone, which, what's that cost?
All right, well, $4,000? Just reapply. No, not a site, just do a plan, but go through the major site plan process of, you know, notify abutters.
The same thing we did it's when you came con, through with the resubmittal
and money
for the additional area that was added in.
There's regulation there that says we can make adjustments to the site plan post-fact for extenuating circumstances as long as they do not majorly change the originally approved site plan.
That the proposed modifications do not significantly impact the original proposal.
Correct.
It doesn't.
And we all
12208 is 12208, whether it's above ground or below ground.
All seven of us that voted.
If you want to talk electricity,
that to be the case.
I'm your buddy.
Now I've got a question for Tom.
Yes.
In the original site plan that was approved by the town, there was electrical conduits that was supposed to be installed during the site work. Did they get installed?
No, we're waiting for the transformer, so they didn't get installed. No.
Well, there is underground that goes to the buildings from the poles.
From the draw.
So those are there. That's basically where the
underground to the building. Correct.
So that's where the pad would have been placed over.
Correct.
When and if that pad mount ever shows up.
Right.
So you have to have the concrete. The concrete would go over that.
Sure. Sure.
So the pipes are there.
No.
The pipes are there from the transformer to the buildings.
Correct.
Not from the transformers to the drop pole. So because the transformer didn't come, the transformer would have sat in a different location because per where the site plan was, and we would have went underground to the building. There was no transformer. So, you know, we didn't run those lines because it wouldn't, like when the third building goes in, which is another phase of this job, it was separate. We will run underground from that pole up the side of the road to that building, assuming there'll be a transformer, but whenever that comes. So it's not like we were trying to avoid it. It was just that literally in the last minute they said, yeah, you're not going to get it, so you probably can't, you know, what do you want us to do? Now, this is 1 month before, and these have contracts for people that are in that building, and they said, well, what can you do? They said, we could put a pole in the back and hang cans on it. That's the best we can do for you right now. Well, then, at that point, it stringed the line from, because again, even in our head, we're thinking maybe it's temporary. You know, this is like, you know, they're all making you make this decision like within 30 days and the building's got to open and it's got to be a tenant in it. So there were, no, we didn't run the conduits because it was like waiting for that answer. So we didn't run them. And also, like, it just, since we're discussing it, I guess I just wanted to just bring up that, you know, this whole process started. I just want to make sure it's clear. These guys a year ahead of time, Rudy, and this is the discussion we had when you weren't able to be here 2 weeks ago. But, you know, these guys did their job. They showed me the paperwork. A year and a half earlier, put their paperwork in. A year before the building had commitment, yeah, we got your order, we got your power loads, yeah, your transformers ordered. A year ahead of time. You know, you don't get anything, like you don't get your engineering unless you write a check. They weren't trying to not abide by their site plan. They did everything they could do. And then when they tell you it's right down to the wire and you have to have a person in the building, this just all just happened. You know, it's just, it isn't like it was anything that was planned. And I understand what StanTech's saying, and I understand what the attorney's saying. And believe me, I respect what you're trying to do, because it's nice to follow the rules so that no one can say anything later, and I respect that. But in this particular circumstance, the attorney's answering the question like, as a whole, you know, should you get a waiver from overhead power? If you're asking about a subdivision and I just ran overhead or down my whole landing way, and he said, oh, no, don't worry about it. And people are like, wow, why is there overhead wires all the way down this? You know, the context of it, it's hard for that person to understand. You know, I physically lived and worked there and see that building. And in the context of it, there is literally a nest egg of wires down Route 27. And you cannot even see this one wire going from the drop. And it's overhead from there to the drop pole. This one wire going to that building. No complaints about it. No nothing. So it's in the whole context of how the board absorbed this is that no one cares about this. Yes, I agree from your standpoint that if there could be fallout from this and someone could take action on it, so a car hit the telephone pole on the side of Landing Way and, oh God, we approve that they should be totally understood. This is zero liability. No one cares about it. Went out of the way to have the residents come by that directly look at this and have no problem with it. That's why I just said, why am I going through all this? It's just, there's no reason to go through all that process for this. So I ask, can this just administratively, can we, and it's due to COVID was the reason for, so numerous things have changed administratively and through all, anything in the planning board have changed due to COVID. So in this particular case, adding all that up with the COVID, you know, implications of this problem, to me, it's warranted the vote that was taken 2 weeks ago. I honestly feel that. I mean, I've been through not as many board meetings as you have, but I've been through a lot of them in this town and been in this town for over 50 years and have seen a ton of this. And this is not extraordinary of an ask, quite honestly. That's my opinion.
Yeah, I'm just glad that we didn't discuss it.
Yeah, no, right.
Yeah. Sorry about that.
But yeah, Rudy, with all respect, and I don't say due respect, I mean all respect, we did consider all this stuff, and that was the reason that we...
I'm not denying any of that.
I don't want to go any further.
No, I'm not...
You're not adding anything new.
I'm not denying that.
You're pleading your case, and that's all you're doing.
I'm not denying that, but I wanted to make sure that the board is fully aware that you are operating well with outside our regulations, and that this could have been done very easily, very low cost, if the plan was submitted the way that it should have been.
Any cost would be unacceptable.
What plan submitted and what the site plan?
If they'd have gone back and requested a waiver, what do you think? As minimal cost, but there's a cost.
The site plan that was approved by the board has everything underground. The way that the regulations say, you can come back and request a waiver for any regulation we have in our site plan regulations. However, there's a process to do it. What the board did 2 weeks ago is they blatantly ignored that process. And that's what I'm bringing up. I'm not saying that the board would say, no, don't do it. But the things that concerned me was the fact that the underground piping was never put in 3 years ago when it should have been put in. And then it looks like, you know, we have never had any intentions of putting in. Because you came back here back...
Totally not true.
Well, that's enough. Rudy, you're way out of line. You're out of line.
In November, you came...
Enough.
In November, you came up to us, Rudy, and said that you wanted to have 1 year extension.
Rudy,
to
you're
put it
enough.
Under.
You're out of line.
That's how that rolls.
You're insinuating things that aren't true. Knock it off.
I would say let Rudy at least finish
what he's
trying to say.
He's done.
Now you're
as far as I'm concerned, he's done.
Thing is,
we got a motion and a second, and I'd like to hear
what Kevin has to say.
Their business is installing underground lines.
Correct.
Their intention was entirely to go underground per the regulation.
Absolutely.
But there's no reason to dig a trench if there's no transformer.
Correct. But the transformer was going to come in eventually, and you had a temporary line in. So we went
we went over, bent over backwards to get the process done so that they could get a better price on their buildings back when we were here. I remember working very diligently on their part to make sure that we could get the approval done before the end of the year so they could save a ton of money by getting their buildings ordered before the end of the year when the prices were going up. I'm not saying that it was done purposely on your fault. I was just saying that if the lines had been installed in there, then eventually when the transformers were available, then that temporary line could have been changed to the permanent line.
At whose cost?
Can
I say something, sir?
Yes, go ahead.
At the time you're referring to, the price of conduit went up like 7 times. So and even in order to do something we knew we weren't going to be able to complete because they didn't have what we needed, it would have costed us, we would have spent $55,000 over there and us, my company, doing the work for nothing just to get the materials to do it. And that's what was happening to us. You understand that. You saw the prices with you guys doing all the work. They're just 10 times the amount in some instances. And we did not have that kind of money. We did not have, we're regular people, man. Some of you people on that board probably have 10 times more amount of money than we have. We did this in good faith. It's probably the best looking commercial piece of property that you have in this entire town. And you're still trying to bury us. I don't care if it's $500 or $5,000. That's a lot of money to us. It is. It's a very lot of money. And this situation, we already got a yes. If I had enough money to get a lawyer, I would have got a lawyer to force that yes vote to become permanent. But I can't afford that. That's why, thank God, Tom's here representing us. I've never done anything like this before. Neither one of us have. This is my son. I mean, we're just trying to make something, make it nice, make it work, and you're standing in the way. It's been like that, I feel, ever since the beginning. It's been nothing but, I mean, I don't even have a permanent CO. And I got people with, you know, that have, I mean, it's unbelievable, man. 3 years into the process, I don't even have a permanent CO. Wow, I should have built all this stuff down the road in a different town and given them my $15,000 a year in taxes, right? I mean, man, we're not asking you for anything. We're just asking you for a little bit of understanding. That's all. Thank you for letting me speak.
You're welcome. It's your prerogative to speak, and I appreciate what you were saying. As I said, my only problem with this is that the process wasn't done properly. I don't want you
but
to...
But you were just accusing us of not doing things because we were trying to... I mean, I don't understand all that.
Yeah, me either.
We're not in kindergarten here. Accusations? Let me tell you something. I don't deal with accusations very well, especially when they're accusing me of doing something that is beneath me, that I would never even consider.
I apologize for you taking it the way that you did.
I think everybody here heard it too.
But my thing is that if you would come back then and says, hey, we're not going to put these conduits in because we don't think we're ever going to be able to get this stuff, would have been a lot easier.
Well, next time we know that.
Right. We got more buildings to build, but if I'm going to have to deal with this, I don't know
how much further
I'm going to go.
You won't have to.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
I can guarantee you won't have to.
I think we've beaten the dead horse. I think it's time to take the vote, even though we've actually...
Yeah, I'm going to call for a vote.
So the vote is to not reopen the hearing.
Correct.
Kind of already done.
And second by Mark.
Yeah, Rudy, no. Mark? Yes, too.
Yes is to not reopen.
Brian?
Yes.
Judy?
Yes.
Scott?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
And Kevin?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
The waiver stands the way it was voted on as last meeting.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming in.
You're very welcome. Thank you very much for hearing me out.
And thank you for building a building in Canada.
Thank you very much.
There's a question from the audience.
Don's got a question as to why going across private property, the town has any say in whether the lines are buried or not.
It's in our site plan regulations.
Why?
Because that's
I asked that very same question.
And how do we fix it?
Now I ask that very same question. How do we undo that?
I mean, because if you're building a street that you're going to turn over to the town, I can see the town having a stake in it and saying underground lines are appropriate here. You know, this is the way we want it. But it's going across their private property. I mean, anybody's private property. Why does the town have any say in whether those lines are above or below ground?
In the site plan regulations, the town has decided that they wanted to have certain things done, certain architectural standards put in place for buildings, and also aesthetics properties, which one of them is that in any new developments, any new site plans or anything like that, anything on site is buried utility lines, whether it be water, sewer, electric, telephone, cable, or whatever. That's in the regulations. It is possible to change the regulations. It's possible to change anything. Mm-hmm. All you have to do is submit a request to the board that the regulations be changed with a suggested change, and the board, after a public hearing, would vote on whether that would be an appropriate change to any of the regulations in town.
Did we get his name for the record?
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. What's your name?
Don Switek, Raymond Road.
Okay.
It's all about the intent of that. It's in there because the intent is to bury all the lines.
Correct.
And subdivisions. But there are a lot of times, we've run into this over the years, even subdivisions, you have to go into a pole before
Correct.
You can go down.
Correct.
And that's kind of what's happening over there.
And that's exactly what we would do in this particular case, is that I believe when we came in with Mountain State site plan for that area, that they couldn't go underground through the entire facility. So it was agreed, and a waiver was agreed to, that one pole could be put on the site, and then from that pole in, everything ran underground.
So it's the board that sets the regulation? It's not like a town ordinance, a town voted ordinance, anything like
that?
The
ordinances come into play, you know, you craft one, it's voted yes or no by the people, really.
At town meeting?
But changes to the site plan.
Site plan regulations are done just for the board.
Okay.
And then the board presents it to a public hearing, gets public input on it, and then the board votes to change whatever site plan regulation is.
Oh, so, yeah, those don't...
Ordinances have
okay.
to be voted by the people,
okay.
right.
Right. not regulations.
Right.
My mistake.
It's interesting. I was going out Depot Road all the way up through Auburn, and you go through this neighborhood of nice homes, and they have underground services, and it looks... awful. Like every house has this really ugly terminal in front of it, and it looks horrible. Like, I'd rather have overhead poles. Like, it's
a great place for hornets.
Oh yeah.
Plus the water gets in there.
Right.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Grateful to hear what you say.
Thank you.
So if we have that, so Don,
hey,
so if we have that public hearing, be here.
Okay.
All right. Moving on. I noticed that Nate came in last week, or last meeting, presented the CIP.
Yeah.
It looked good. I talked to Nate and asked him about the presentation of it and stuff. I told him that from my standpoint, it's exactly what I need. It just has spreadsheets in it. It has dates in it. It has things like that. I asked him his opinion on how things could be improved from a sales standpoint, that people might have a better time looking at it and understanding it and agreeing what's in there. And if you looked at the one for Chester has a lot of kind of like backup information with pictures and things like that that show a little bit more about why some of these things have been changed and why they need it. Kind of similar to how the police department had done and the safety people had done with the police station itself. So he said, like, well, why don't you talk to the board and see what ideas they might have, any ideas that I might have. And I said, you know, looking at the ones for Chester, there was a lot of nice information that would be visual
Because the problem is right now is that I think that people are just, they don't really read things. They don't look into things. They just look at pictures, little memes.
And then vote yes.
What's
that?
And
then vote yes.
Yes.
To whatever it is.
Right.
But it might actually be good, because you see a lot in white papers, is an executive summary at the front end.
Yeah.
Right? Like a couple paragraphs.
Yeah.
That just summarize everything that's in the document.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah,
because I'm one of those people that doesn't read. You hand me a document like
that,
this.
That's it. Yeah, you don't want to. But if you get the executive summary, you get the gist of it.
Unfortunately, I'm on this board. I had to read the whole damn thing.
But so you bring up the exact point that I was gearing to with.
Yeah,
I
think an executive summary would something that is written for the masses to be able to understand what's in here in a couple of paragraphs. Would be maybe three paragraphs max, but you don't want it to be two pages of executive summary.
Yeah, no.
That makes sense.
Similar to what we did when we did the HOP grant stuff.
Okay. Yep.
What about some kind of like, as you said before, to try to pick up the light by putting in some kind of pictures or something like that?
Yeah, I think again, if you put a if you could do a one page executive summary that might have some charting of some kind, bar charts of stuff.
Yeah.
Pretty pictures go a long way.
Pie charts.
Exactly. A couple of paragraphs and then some charts that would get the points across.
The pie's getting bigger. Your slice is staying the same, but the pie's getting bigger. Costs are going up.
Yeah, that'd be a great pie chart. This is this year.
That's next year.
This
is a $10 pie. This is now a $10 pie. Next year it's going to be a $10 pie. And
like roads.
Pi R squared. Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, all right.
So maybe a graph. One of the things I saw in the summary was in the chart that was in there. There's a difference between warrant articles, capital reserve funds, and grants. If we had something that was a graph that showed that, this is going to be $300,000 being spent in that particular year, but it breaks down into only this amount of money is going to be raised from taxes. Because I think that's one of the big things that I've also read from the Board of Selectmen and the Budget Committee is they're looking at trying to attach costs to every warrant article. And the problem with that is that if you take it standalone, it's not really reflecting properly of what the impact tax impact is going to be, because it could be offsetting something else.
Well, this isn't a document that's voted on, right? This is an administrative document. So.
It's voted on by us.
Yeah.
But no, it's not something. It's a guideline
to be
used. But it seems that the townsfolks and a lot of the boards are looking for guidelines. And if we have something that proves that this is reasonable, then they're going to listen to it.
Yep, no, I agree. Something maybe you could put, if you think your road is rough, turn to page 12 to see when it gets fixed.
But that's awesome, though. Finally, we've been talking about this for years, We have so many miles of road, and it only lasts so long, and you need a plan, and if you've been waiting 20 years, it's nice to be able to look and say, I know if I wait another 17, we'll finally get it paved.
In Lankford, it's a state road. It took 20 years to get paved.
Yeah.
But we were on schedule, but then money would get robbed from if we went over on the snow removal and things like that. They take money from the paving, and then over time, and we got way behind. If you drive around Candia, it's like, we're going to have to spend some money. And people ask me all the time, why don't we mow? Why don't we, why are we letting all this stuff on the road get, grow and grow until it gets really big and it's going to get really expensive, So anyway, that's for.
Yeah, but no, I think if we want to make this so that it's an easier piece for, somebody who doesn't want to read the whole thing, I think a couple of paragraph executive summary with a couple of charts would get the salient points across.
By the way, Nate, as we know, he's top rate. He did a fabulous job.
Oh,
He's so nice to work with somebody that's so professional.
That's why I asked him his opinion, seeing he's done these before.
Yeah, he's great.
Okay, so I'll let him know that. If you have anything that you think would be good to send him, give it to Amy, and she'll send it on to Nate. All right, but the steering committee for the HOP grant, do we have anything? I think they were meeting.
They've had two meetings. Right?
Yeah.
We met. Cam's going to reword some of the survey and get it back to the committee for review.
Okay. Good.
Are they still thinking about the developer survey?
We haven't discussed it. I know the chair and a couple others wanted to scrap it, where a couple others of us, you know, maybe 50% of us say we should have it just because it would help this board understand what developers, what roadblocks developers have when they come in, or are we more efficient as our workflow?
But I do agree that I think the citizens survey is more important because that'll take longer to get out, get done, and get back. You know, for a developer survey, you're going to go to, what, 5 or 6 people max.
Right.
Then they'll be more than happy to do it. You'll get them back spit spot. So
yeah. You know, like I said, it's a data collection.
Yeah.
So there's nothing wrong with sending it out and getting it. Some of them feel they don't want to do it. Others of us feel it's worth at least collecting the data. And that way it's available to us and a future master plan committee.
Yeah.
Good. Any questions? All right. Appeal updates. Still nothing with Foster Farms.
Unbelievable.
That's one of the things I talked to Tim about. I asked him when I was talking to him. I said, by the way, have we heard anything? And he said, no. And it's been 4 months.
There's no, like, if they don't get to us by a certain date, we win. No. You know, as far as I know.
Well, we thought
the final buzzer goes, and
like I said in the past, we're in the expedient process.
It's so good.
It's the expedited process.
Yeah. Probably would have been easier to go through the.
It would have been easier
court.
To go to court. Yeah.
So
I feel like we're going to win.
I think I wouldn't be surprised if he walks away from the project and attacks High Street instead.
Yeah. Two on High Street.
Mm-hmm. I heard he got another 40-acre parcel. He's going to combine 50. 50?
Yeah. And there's a contiguous section, right?
Yeah.
And he had 90 something, right?
Right.
Yeah, it's going to be like 150.
150 acres.
Yeah. Yeah. With that much more frontage.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he can do either one. He can do.
You can do a little
workforce, or it can do elderly housing.
You can do both on that much land.
Yeah.
That's what happened in Hooksett.
It should be a good thing.
They did workforce down at the bottom over by the old St. Mary's, and then a little further up, more homes.
Workforce housing.
Oh, yeah.
Balance the tax implications.
Part of that development that was scheduled up there didn't happen, huh?
Right.
I'm good with that.
Money?
It's supposed to be, yeah. Well, the economy kind of tanked at the time, but now
that they were going great guns, the state made them do all kinds of work and everything, and then it just stopped.
Yeah, it's not completed yet.
So how long does this hang in the air?
I don't know. It's like, I don't think there's a limit, is there?
I don't know. I was under the impression that the whole thing was that they were supposed to do things within 90 days.
Yeah.
But they ruled on part of it.
Right.
Because remember, there was two parts of this.
Yeah.
And the first one, they said that, no, we were proper.
The constitutionality of it, right?
Right. Yeah. The second one is the constitutionality of our regulations.
It seems like that it should go another 90 days and then done.
Right.
Well, can't leave it hanging forever.
No. Tim said that's probably not a good idea to do. He talked to the clerk. The clerk is her name.
Yeah.
And she said they're still working on it.
Okay.
So Tim said it's probably not a good idea to try to push the issue.
Okay.
So we still wait.
Okay.
Should be.
Well, it's really, it's no skin off our nose as much as it is his.
He's correct. There. Yeah, it'd just be nice to be able to take it off the table. Mm-hmm. I did jump ahead of the approval of the minutes. First one is October 4th.
This one on the table because we didn't have a quorum, right? To right. vote on it.
Correct.
That we're here.
And that's the one that it was incorrect because correct. It says I was in attendance and I was not.
Right.
Do you have that one, right?
Yeah.
I read all these at home. I'm good.
I'm not a grammar guy, so I don't know if this should be a semicolon and not a comma.
That's Judy's job.
I don't know why.
You just inherited, girl.
I know.
What subject did you teach, Judy?
Everything. I mean, whatever they wanted me to. I was on it.
So, motion to accept the minutes of October 4th.
I make a motion we accept the minutes of October 4th meeting.
Second by?
With the correction that I was not
right.
present.
With corrections. Yep. Okay. Second?
I'll second that.
All right. Second by Mark. Vote for the people here. Rudy, yes. Mark?
Here. Yep.
Brian?
Yes.
And Tim?
Yes.
Okay. Minutes for October 18th.
Make a motion that we approve the minutes of the October 18th meeting as presented.
Second.
Okay, second by Kevin. Mark?
Yes.
Ryan?
Yes.
Judy?
Yes.
Tim?
Yes.
Kevin?
Yes.
And Linda? You were here?
Yes.
Okay.
And all Scott, right. I was at that meeting.
You were there?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh. You're not on here. So we'll do that with.
That's right.
As amended?
As amended.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's good.
So you got added, Kevin, and he got omitted.
Yes.
All right. So motion to approve with the amendment that Scott Komisarek be
was
put on here as
present.
A member. Present. Okay. Other business, town planning. It's that time of year to look at any zoning ordinance revisions. I have none. I don't know if anybody else has seen anything this year that you caught.
I thought we were going to talk about what we just talked about, reviewing our regulations a little bit.
That's not in the ordinance one that we have to submit.
That's the regulation.
Yeah. Yeah. Probably the best thing to do on that is we have a bunch of things that need to be done on the regulations. So I think probably the best thing to do is to probably have a subcommittee to take a look at all the things that we looked at over the course of the year or 2 years. We looked at that because we have the things with truck turning radiuses, crowns in the road, all of those things like that that we've been giving waivers for.
Did we finish the slope one too? Did we add that?
Make it was that written, but we never ever talked about it. It got right. put to the side.
Yeah. I don't know if we'd have enough time to get that done by the time the proposed zoning ordinance amendments need to be put in.
Are those soft copy documents that Amy can send out to us all that we could then just kind of go through and make comments or question marks on if we have them?
Sure. Yeah.
She should have the slopes one because I sent that in. What
right.
was that, Lisa then?
Yeah.
Lisa. And I just copied the state because I didn't agree with everything in the state. I don't agree with telling people what color their house can be or what
yeah.
windows they can put in.
Yeah, I don't think we should have a town HOA.
I just copied what the state said and put it in for us to decide and really take those pieces out that we don't want. Because, that's all I did was copy what the state did and put it in. And like I said, I don't agree with telling people what color their house can be, what kind of windows they can have. You know, that's up to the home buyer.
Yeah, I don't agree with telling people how they have to landscape their project.
Right.
But that's just me.
Yeah. So it's something that we really need to work on. I'm
doing my one anyway.
Where can you find the site plan regulations? I mean, is it online?
Yes.
Do I add? Okay.
Yeah, it's online.
Where?
Town website under planning.
Yep.
And then documents.
Yeah.
Okay.
Forms and documents in it.
Everything's in there.
How about the road standards? I couldn't find anything on Cambia's road standards. I was told to look at New Hampshire DOT, which they only have state and.
Yeah, they wouldn't have ours.
No, in
New Hampshire DOT.
In the subdivision regulations,
okay.
They'll have the road standards for subdivisions.
And Amy can get you that too.
Oh, okay, because she told me to talk to.
She can get that. Because she.
He said it was just up here.
No. She said it was up here?
No.
Oh, the road agent?
Yeah.
Oh.
He said, yeah, it's all up here. I'm like, wait a minute.
No, it's written somewhere. It's on paper.
Okay.
So if anybody has an idea for some zoning ordinances, bring them to the next meeting. Because we have to have public hearings and all kinds of other stuff and get them submitted. And it's November, and everything has to be done by the middle of January.
So under documents and forms, is it would it be under Town of Candia forms? Or
You go planning board.
Okay.
Like you'll start off with like Board of Selectmen, you gotta scroll down.
Cramps, sorry.
You gotta scroll
I figured
down.
You were up to something.
Literally.
Gonna make a speech.
Literally up to something.
Yeah, I hate that.
How do you have
Okay. I'll look through.
And the site plan, the subdivision, and the zoning ordinances, so on.
It's going to be hard to drive home right now.
So you can walk, pick the car up later.
I might have to. Okay, major site plan. Okay, all those. Got it. Mind if I stand? Sorry.
No?
Oh, not at all.
Stretch it out.
I think we're done anyway, right?
Pretty darn close.
I got an email from... Brian Ruoff today that the abutters software is now up and running on the GIS system.
Oh, nice.
Beautiful.
So that's in place. So I think that's it.
Get over the address problem?
Yes. Yeah, so that we generate the abutters list in there. So.
Motion to adjourn. You know,
so one other thing is that this is probably going to be my last meeting. I am going to resign from the board.
I got to walk this off a little bit. Sorry.
I will give my official resignation at the next meeting. So now you can do adjourn the meeting.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Aye. Everybody in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye.